Hi, this is Gary Brumbelow. I'm so glad you've chosen to listen to this sermon, and I trust you will find something of real benefit in what you're about to hear. You may be clicking on from anywhere in the world, but if you're in the vicinity of Troutdale near Portland, Oregon, we'd love to have you in our service every Sunday at 11 o'clock. We're located at 921 Buxton Avenue, a half mile above the historic downtown Troutdale. But in any case, may God bless you richly. Thank you for listening. So please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. There's a Bible under a chair in the row in front of you somewhere. It's there for your use. And I'm just tickled that you've come. I know you didn't come to make me happy, but I'm just delighted that each one of you is here. And I trust the Lord will make that decision a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 25, how will you spend your life? That's what we're going to talk about today. So Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read verses 14 through verse 30. This is the word of God. It's in a book. It's words on a page like any other book, but it's not just any other book. It's not just any other words. This is the Word of God. When we read the Bible, God is watching us read the Bible. So we want to read attentively and respectfully and reverently and in anticipation of what God might do. We don't know. You never know. So let's just listen as we hear from the Lord, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Matthew. Goes like this: "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We do give thanks to you, Father, that you have seen to it that we have your word here still today. This passage written about 2,000 years ago, and we still have it, and you still have, we still have opportunity to hear from you about life about the investment of a life and how will we spend the life that you gave us. Oh, Lord, this is such an important truth. Help us to get it this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. My first job was helping the janitor at our public school in our little town of Butte, Nebraska, where they actually paid me to learn how to clean a toilet. Paid me 75 cents an hour. And I worked there for the janitor. Now, that was during the school year. In the summer, I mowed lawns, and I made a lot better money. I worked a lot harder for it, though. Anybody who's pushed a lawnmower in the summertime knows what hot, miserable work that can be and how good it is to get finished. And I used to have this little ritual. Our little town was just like less than a mile square, so I could push my mower to any lawn that I had to mow. So I would push around in town and mow the lawn, and I would have this little ritual when I got done. I would shut off the mower and step back and look over that lawn and say, you know, that looks pretty good, and think, what if I were just now starting? And I would just kind of savor the idea that it was done. But I'm not just starting, I'm done. Yes. I just took pleasure in that job finished. Here was the job that was done. And I would collect my fee, stick it in my pocket, and move on. Another lawn mowed, another satisfied customer, a few more dollars in my pocket. It was good work. It made some income. The town looked a little bit better. And most of all, it taught me something about the value of money. And that's an important lesson to learn. To learn the value of money. And that's a part of what we're going to be talking about here. You learn this lesson in your youth. It's never too late to learn, but you miss out on a lot if you don't figure out in your youth something about the value of money. In fact, I'm going to do something to kind of demonstrate this morning what I'm talking about. Jason and Joe, would you guys come up here a second? This won't take long and it won't hurt, I promise. We're going to do a little object lesson here about the value of money. And I think Cliff did this with you guys some time back. And by the way, we moved Cliff down to Eugene yesterday. I said we're going to be in trouble because we're the ones that moved you down here. But he needed to move. I expect we'll see him a little bit. But anyway, so I understand Cliff did something like this with you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give each of you guys $5. And so here's the deal with this money. I'm giving you this money and challenging you to think well about how can you use this money to bless people, to do something good, to grow the kingdom of God. So, and we can talk about this some more in our youth time. And if you listen carefully, you might even get some ideas this morning, okay? And upon a day to come, we'll call you back up here and see how that went, okay? All righty, great, good. Good sports, guys, thanks. Now, if you were listening to the parable I just read, you heard Jesus talk about money. He uses the word money 4 times in this parable, and he uses another word that has to do with money 14 times, and that's the word talent. Did you see that? How many times he said the word talent? Now, that's kind of funny. When we say talent, we mean a skill or ability, right? So here's a lady over here who has a great talent as a truck driver. That's how we use it, you know, or we say somebody's very talented in singing. That's what talent means to us, but as we read it here in the Greek, it meant a unit of money. It was a name for an amount of money. So we have names for amounts of money. We call 10 cents. What do we call 10 cents? A dime, okay? 25 cents, a quarter, 100 cents. A dollar. So a talent is a name for a unit of money, but it's way more than the ones that I just mentioned. A talent was 20 years' wages for a laborer. That's how much one talent is, 20 years' wages for a laborer. So in today's world here in Oregon, the minimum wage, let's just say minimum wage is $9.75 an hour. Let's say that's what a laborer makes. In 20 years at $9.75 an hour, that's a little over $400,000. So one guy got one talent in this story, and one guy got 2 talents, so he got $800,000, and one guy got 5 talents, that's $2 million. So Jesus is talking about money here, And there's something to learn about money in this parable, as we will see. But money here is mostly a symbol of something else. Because this is a parable, okay? What is a parable, preacher? A parable is a short story using things from everyday life, things that you can see and touch, to teach us about something that we can't see or touch. That's what a parable is. So look at verse 14. At the beginning of this parable, Jesus says, "For it will be like something." It will be like a man going on a journey. It's not a literal man. It's not a literal journey. It's like this. So I'm telling you a story to demonstrate what it is I'm talking about. Now, when you read that, "it will be like a man," you wonder, what's Jesus talking about? What will be like a man? Well, keep your finger there, but just flip back on to chapter 24 and look at verse 3. Chapter 24 opens, and Jesus and his disciples are in the temple area, and they're showing him all these wonderful buildings. He says there's a day that's going to come that no stone will be left on another. And in verse 3, chapter 24, verse 3, it says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?'" Do you see that? They want to know, okay, tell us what this future is going to look like, and how will we know that you're coming back? Jesus starts talking right there, and if you have a red letter Bible, you see he talks and talks and talks. All the rest of chapter 25, of 24, all of chapter 25, Jesus is talking. He's still talking when he comes to the one I just read, chapter 25, verse 14. And he's saying that the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this. Now, how do I know this kingdom of heaven? And he says in 14, "It will be like a man." Look up at verse 1, chapter 25, verse 1. You see that? "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like." So the kingdom of heaven will be like, in verse 1, 14, "it will be like." So it, the antecedent for it, is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven in this parable. He's using everyday kinds of things to teach us something eternal, something invisible. He's saying, here's what the kingdom of heaven will be like. Here's a story to illustrate what the kingdom of heaven will be like. And then he tells the story I just read about a master, some servants, some money, and all of those things in the parable stand for something. Okay? They all represent something. That's how a parable works. The master stands for somebody. The journey stands for something. The servants, the money stands for something. What they do with the money, all of that stands for something. Now, is it important to learn how to handle money? Well, of course it is. That's a very biblical principle, and that's part of the story here. But the money stands for something beyond dollars and cents. Stay with me here, okay? The money stands for something more than just dollars and cents. In fact, have you ever asked the question, why is there money? Why is there money? That's what it says out on the sign this morning. Is it so we can buy things? Well, we need to buy things, yes. But money is bigger than just buying things. It's bigger even than just saving. It's bigger than giving. Money in this story pictures your life. And you don't have to accept that just because I said it, but I'm going to say it and then try to lead you through the process of why it is that I say this. I believe the money here in the parable is a picture of your life, how you produce, what you produce in your life. When Jesus is talking about talents and money, he's talking about the productivity of a human life. God gives you your life. Just as the master gave the servants some money, God has given you your life and all that is part of that life. Your life is not your own. Your life belongs to God. And here's the question. Here's the question that this parable is answering in six words. How will you spend your life? How will you spend your life? Now, we're talking about stewardship. We have this little short series in these weeks about stewardship. We are stewards. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, God made us in his image, and he entrusted the creation to us. He said, you develop it. It was perfect, but it wasn't finished. You develop it. He made us the stewards of his creation. He put us in charge of it. And last week we saw that one thing we are stewards of is time. So a steward is somebody, I need to stop and redefine that. What's a steward? A steward is somebody who looks after the property of another. It's somebody else's property, he's looking after it. Like last time, I think, or maybe 2 weeks ago, we talked about the house sitters. Remember, you're a house sitter. You're looking after a house. You're responsible for how you look out for it, but it's not your house, it's somebody else's. Well, the creation is God's house, and we are stewards of it, of everything. Last week, we saw that we are stewards of our time. That most precious commodity, more precious than diamonds or gold, is our time. Today, we will see that we are stewards of our life. Of all of our life, our money, our possessions, our energies, our abilities, all of our life, your life belongs to God. He has loaned it to you. And he expects a return on his investment. Those of you who dabble in that kind of thing know what ROI stands for, return on investment. God expects a return on the investment he has made with you by your life. If you spend your life well, God rewards that accordingly. He rewards stewardship according to how it's played out, how it's practiced. So if you spend your life well, God rewards it well. We see this here. If you waste your life, God will judge that. This is a story about how you spend your life, including your money. You are a steward of your money, of your possessions, of all of your life. It all belongs to God, and he has handed it over to you with the expectation that you will do something that increases his business, his kingdom, that you will grow his kingdom, that you will add value to his kingdom. So that's the question. How will you spend your life? Now, the story, let's just look at it quickly by way of review. There's three perspectives here in this story. There's the master, the good servants, and the wicked servant. So there's the master. He's a man of wealth, a wealthy guy, okay? He has servants. And at the beginning, he capitalizes these servants. He gives them money for a purpose of doing something for his business. That's the definition of capital, wealth invested in a business for profit. So this money isn't to go and buy chocolate candy or video games. This is to grow the master's business. That's what this capital is. In Luke's version of this parable, the master says, put this money to work until I come back. And we'll see how that shows up here in verse 20. But this is capitalism. By the way, capitalism is a biblical concept. Did you know that? It came out of the Reformation. And any honest businessman who serves people is a little picture of how God works in the world. In this case, God has invested you with a life. Here's a life. I'm investing you with this life. What will you do with it? How will you spend your life? You could say God is the original capitalist. And then the second set of characters are the two faithful servants. They're both faithful with their money. The only difference between them is how much money they got. One of them was entrusted with 5 talents and the other with 2 talents. In every other way, they are perfectly identical. They both put the master's money to work. They both double the money. They both bring it to the master with confidence, and they both receive the same praise, exactly worded the same both times. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. They both receive the same promotion. Did you see that? You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. And they both receive the same invitation. Come and share your master's happiness. God rewards faithful stewardship. So that's the master and the faithful servants. The third character is the wicked servant, the unfaithful servant, someone who's clearly not in relationship with the master. That's what his behavior tells us. And at the accounting time, this guy gives the original talent back to the master and falsely accuses him, slanders him, accuses him of unfair dealings. Did you see that? Verse 24. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. And the master judges him appropriately and severely. I'll deal with you on the same terms you assigned to me. So this is a parable. This is a story using everyday things to teach a larger truth. The master here is Jesus himself. The master is Jesus. He's talking to his disciples here. He's telling them he's going away. He's going to go away and going to come back. Remember, they ask him in chapter 24, verse 3, what will be the sign of your coming? And he's answering that question here. Because the master goes away. He's getting ready to go away. He's talking to his disciples. It's near the end of his earthly ministry. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to rise again. He's going to be exalted to the Father's side. He's going to go away. He's still away. He's away for a long time. That's exactly what it says. A long time later, he comes back. So the master is Jesus himself. The faithful servants are those who love Jesus and seek to serve him. And the unfaithful servant is a pretender, somebody who calls himself a Christian, but he doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. We know that he doesn't because of the way the story ends. We'll get back to that in a minute. The money represents the abilities, the energies, the capacities, the achievements of your life. We spend money and we spend a life. The question is, how will you spend your life? How you spend your money is important. How you spend your life is even much more important. Jesus is using money as a metaphor to show us that God is the one who gave you your life, that he expects a return on his investment, that he rewards stewardship according to how it's done. So how will you spend your life? So I just want to make four observations about this to help us think well about this subject. Here's the first observation. God has given you a life. Yes, your mother and father had a piece of that too, but that's how God gives life, through human participation. God is the one who has given you life. Your life comes from God himself. He's the one who has capitalized you with your life. Look again at verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. God is the one who gives you life. The master here represents God. At one level, it's God the Father. At another level, it's God the Son, Jesus, because he's going away. The talents represent life. God is the one who gives us life, and all of that including abilities. And we all have different abilities, of course. Some people have more abilities in something and less in another, and vice versa. Some people have more capacity. I wish I could do arm wrestling like Pastor Bart. You know, he's got a lot of capacity here in his shoulders. I learned that he was very gentle with me, but I learned that very early when we had a little competition. But you see here, there's 5 talents, there's 2 talents, there's 1 talent. The life God has given you is different from the life he's given your neighbor. The abilities God has given you are different from the abilities that God has given your neighbor. Different in many ways, but especially in levels of ability. So sometimes we look at somebody and say, man, I wish I could do like that. I wish I could do that as well as she does. Well, maybe that's okay, but don't let it get carried away because that's not who God designed you to be. I mean, we all could do that, right? I wish I could keep up with Thomas in his vocabulary. I love words, and I love the way he, and that resonant radio voice, you know. I just have a normal voice. Why should that be? It's not fair. I wish I could know as much about mechanics as John and even Darla. No. I wish I could back up a truck. Rose could give me lessons maybe, but I think I've tried that. It doesn't work very well. I wish I knew everything about fishing that Aaron knew. So there's a lot of things that we look at others and say, wow, you know, I wish I had that ability. That's not the point. It's not your ability that matters. It's your availability that matters. It's not your ability. It's your availability. We shouldn't look at others and think, well, I can't do that, so I guess I'll just sit here. No. No, we need to jump in and serve. That's wrong-headed to do like that. God is the one who decides how much ability we have. He can do that. He's God. Okay? And he assigns us different ability. Our culture has the mistaken identity that what the most important thing is equality. Have you noticed that? That doesn't line up with the Bible. That's just code language for government control. It's an attempt to enlarge the government so the government can somehow make us all equal, to put the government in the place of God. All humans are equal in dignity and value to God, but not equal in ability or capacity. That's one thing we see here. So God has given you your life. He's the one who decides your abilities and capacities. The question is, how will you spend your life? Here's the next observation. God expects results. God has capitalized you. Everything you have, you come from God. If it's your good looks, if it's your intellect, if it's your strength, if it's your way with people, if it's the skills that you can pick up quickly because you're gifted in that area, it all came from God, and he expects a return on his investment. Look again at verse 16. So the master gave the money and went away. Verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had received the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now look at this, verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He calls them into meeting. And he wants to know, what did you do with my money? And he's going to do the same thing with you and me. What did you do with my life? How did you spend the life that I gave you? You see, the story begins, the master is the one who gave out the talents. We have talents because God supplies them. You have a life because God has given it to you. How will you spend that life? This story clearly says it's not your ability, it's your availability that matters to God. It's your faithfulness. How will you spend the life God gave you? That's what matters here. God expects you to develop an attitude of achievement. I want to do something for God. And to throw yourself into that life, a willingness to work hard. That's how the human story is written. By the efforts of humans, whether they know God or not, serving him, that's how he uses this thing. And I had a great story of this. When our boys were in grade school or maybe junior high, starting to get in junior high, we lived in Calgary and they played soccer. And our older son, Zach, had a player on his team who had this kind of attitude that I'm talking about. His name was Brett. He was 10 years old. He was one of the smallest, if not the smallest, kids on the team. But he ran faster. He worked harder. He scored lots of goals. And one day, we were sitting up there watching game, and he scored a goal, and he came off the field for a while onto the sideline, and I had a chance. He came by me, and I said, "Hey, buddy, way to go, Brett. Great goal." Here's what he said. He looked at me right in the eye, and through his heavy panting, "It's my life to make them." Whoa. So you see, there's a kid that we would all do well to model. What is our life? God gave us a life. How are we going to spend that life? Are we going to throw ourselves into that life with eagerness and see what God will do through us? God gave you a life. He expects results. He enables you to achieve those results. He will reward accordingly. So how will you spend your life? To unpack this a little bit more, what results will you bring to Jesus at the end of history? You see, we're going to stand before God. All his children will not stand before the judgment of salvation. We're saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ today, you won't have to stand in judgment for that. But we will give an account for how we spent our life. We'll stand before Jesus. That's what he's picturing here. And he will ask us, "What did you do with the life that I gave you? How has his business grown as a result of your work?" And the business of Jesus is the kingdom of God. So here's a way to think about what the kingdom of God is like. what it's about, what are the values of the kingdom of God. I've seen it called a cultural trinity. It's about truth, it's about beauty, it's about goodness. The ultimate truth is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And all of the truths that accompany that. It's about beauty, because we live in a world where there's lots of ugly things, and the kingdom of God promotes beauty. So how have you promoted beauty? How are you investing your life in the gospel? And it's about goodness. Who have you touched with goodness? Who has seen the goodness of God in you? Truth and beauty and goodness. How are you bringing value to God's business, to the kingdom of God, by your life? Pastor Bart, would you be so kind as to set your Bible down and come up here for a second? He's stunned by this. He didn't know this was going to happen, folks. That's not an act. I just want you to come up here for just a second, because as I thought about this, we are blessed because we have among us, and he's not going to be very, it's going to feel awkward for him, but this is a sincere word of appreciation. The Bible says, honor to whom honor is due, and this is all for the glory of Jesus Christ. But we have here, in this brother right here, a great example of what I'm talking about. I've been watching him for 6 years. And we have our differences, as he mentioned the other day in the annual meeting. We have our differences. And praise God, because, you know, if two people are exactly the same, one of them is not necessary. But I've watched this guy. I've watched how he treats people. I've seen him on his bus. I've heard many stories. And I mean, that's not to say this isn't happening in other lives, but I just want to take a moment to say, here's a guy who treats people gently and kindly with goodness, and people are attracted to him like they were attracted to Jesus, especially the broken people. They're attracted to this brother, and he finds a way to serve them. He's a guy who appreciates beauty. If you haven't a chance to see his house and his yard, all that stuff matters to him. He may have put 100 gallons of paint on the buildings in this campus because it matters to him. In a world of ugliness, here's a guy who's contributing beauty to the world. And maybe above all, truth. Because I've watched him in different scenarios, he's so careful never to put a barrier to the gospel. Because that's the ultimate truth, is the gospel. And he might have a chance, and I can't take time to tell the stories, but I would love to tell a couple stories about what that looked like and how it was a wake-up call to me. And he gets off his work shift. He's tired. Before he goes home, he'll do a prayer walk and pray for his friends and people and a lot of different things. I could go on and on and on. Generous, but if you just want to know what I'm talking about, how to spend your life, watch Bart Stickney. Thank you, brother.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, you bet. Garsh. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. How will you spend your life? A third observation. We've got to move along quickly here. When you honor God, God honors you. When you add value to the kingdom of God, he honors you. Look at verse 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, you have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. When you honor God, God honors you. He gave you abilities. He gave you your life. How will you spend your life? What will you do with those abilities? I read that and I thought about something that I see once in a while, an employee of the month program. Has anybody here ever worked for an employer who had an employee of the month program? Okay. Has anybody ever won employee of the month? That's great. I see it like in Taco Bell or someplace like that. Why do employers do that? Well, it motivates the employees, because when the employees do well, the employer does well. When the employee honors the employer, The employer honors the employee. Somebody did a little study of this, and here's some of the things that people appreciate about being employee of the month. It showed that I was important and hardworking, that I do an outstanding job. I got an award and got to pick my schedule for the month. I got applause from my colleagues. It showed that I was appreciated. I like being able to savor all my hard work for a month. I love the award and recognition. Employee of the month. It's a little bit like that. When you honor God, God honors you. He promises reward. And by the way, very quickly, it's very important to see this is not the reward of salvation. As I tried to make clear before, Jesus is, he's talking to his disciples. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples here. He's teaching them how things work in the kingdom, not how to get into the kingdom. You get into the kingdom, as we saw this morning, not by climbing over the wall. You get into the kingdom by being born again. When the Holy Spirit opens your heart, and in repentance and faith, you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that's how you get into the kingdom. You can't even see the kingdom, Jesus said, unless you're born again. Okay, so Jesus is talking about life in the kingdom. When you honor God, he honors you. So how will you spend your life? And finally, when you diss God, God disses you. The one who turns his back on God will find God's back turned on him. To reject God is to put yourself in the place of judgment. I should really read those verses again, but I'm going to trust you. Please go home and read those verses again. We're already out of time. But the point is, you can't reject God and insult him, and insult him by the way you waste your life, and expect God to honor you. This person, as I said earlier, is not a believer. This is someone who pretends to be a Christian. We see he's not in relationship with God by the way he acts, by the things that he says. And it's like many people that way. They think, well, I'm in church. You know, obviously I'm a Christian, I'm in church. But remember Billy Graham said, being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. So it's good for a car to be in the garage. And it's good for everybody to be in church and to hear the gospel and respond. This guy didn't. And verse 30 sounds, cast a worthless servant into outer darkness, and that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds a lot to me like a description of hell, an eternity apart from God. So how will you spend your life, beloved? Yes, the parable is about money, because money's a part of life. But not just money, all of your life. It all belongs to God. And as you pursue and proclaim truth in a society of lies, as you create beauty in a world of ugliness, as you bring goodness in a world of cruelty, you're honoring Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And the day will come. That's what we all want to hear. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. Amen.